I am so thrilled to get to speak with you, especially about this film, Conclave. Edward, this is stunning. It is absolutely fascinating. It is masterful. It is a visual masterpiece. It is so painterly. The metaphor that you bring to life in here with things such as the turtles, the chess game, just speak so loudly. Your casting is impeccable. And one of the things that you really show everyone in this conspiracy political thriller is that these men, these cardinals, they're flawed. They should not be on a pedestal. They have vices just like you and me. And it's wonderful subtextual commentary. On every level, this is brilliant filmmaking, Edward. Brilliant.
I mean, do I have to say anything or can you just continue?
You blew me away. When I watched this the other night, I don't think I blinked through the entire screening.
That's so great. I mean, that's so generous. Thank you so much for saying that.
Just flawless. And such a big part of this, too, because the production itself is very unfettered. It's very clean. You have very clean, hard lines in Susie's production design. Within the marbling, within the marble tile, on the floor, on the walls, everything, it has those hard edges that very much equate to the tenets of the Catholic Church. Never shall you fall from the path. Walk that line. And yet we see everybody in the church, with the exception of Sister Agnes, really, who should be the Pope.
I really wanted that contrast, you know, between because I knew I was going to shoot in the Sistine Chapel, and so I thought, okay, let's make the Casa Santa Marta where they live. Let's make that hard and really feel the sequestering, feel the darkness, and feel the hard edges and the uncomfortability and the claustrophobia and the, you know, the being locked away, so that in the end when the windows open, you know, it can really feel like there's air coming in.
Mm-hmm. And this is where the importance of your cinematographer, of Stefan, just beautiful, beautiful work with the lighting and the lensing. And I know you used the black wings and you were shooting on the Raptor. I think that, and the look is spectacular. But the way the light, you have constructed the lighting with Stefan. Talk to me about the lighting and the visual grammar, because that in and of itself also creates this contrast and the distinctions between the papacy and each of these wannabe popes. The camera work is outstanding. Outstanding.
He's a great cameraman. As you know, he shot a lot of Jacques Audiard's movies, Prophet and Rust and Bones. He's from France. And he shot Jackie, and I met him, and we spoke a lot about the very natural soft light that comes through these, you know, low windows, a lot of dark shadow, and just not flashy, very natural light, and not distract from, you know, the actors and everything else, and we spent about 6 weeks basically together sitting, shot listing and storyboarding and making sure that we knew how to shoot the scenes, you know, and that we had a plan of how to capture that architecture, because I'm very much love when, you know, the set, I mean, I'm a big location scout nerd, where I go on location scout after location. Finding the right location is actually the key. It's like finding the right actor for a role. And once you have that, you see it, how to shoot it, how to light it, you know, how to use the big windows, how to make, is this front lit or back lit, you know, and Stefan is a master at lighting things front lit, where a lot of other camera people would say, I'm only lighting back lit. But sometimes the front lit feeling gives you something pure and magical, and not as showy as backlit.
Yeah, and you don't want anything showy here. And this is what I love with the lighting, because the lighting is softer, but it also allows you to create some negative space with inside each of the Cardinal's rooms, their jail cell rooms. I mean, the design of the doors with the tiny little squares to look out the doors, it reminds you of a jail cell.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I love what Susie did with that. And I just think Susie is a brilliant production designer anyway.
No, that's what we try to make them feel, those small doors, and make the people feel small.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of that architecture, when you are in Rome, you realize, oh, it's designed to make you feel insignificant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's because it's so big that you feel just like, okay, the world is much more important than I am and much bigger. And I mean, it's really amazing how it makes you feel. And we try to sort of mirror that in our design. And for that, you need big, wide open locations.
You know? Mm-hmm. Well, I think you definitely succeeded in that, Edward, particularly when the whole idea is to make men mere mortals and make them small. But at the same time, while we are locked in for the votes, each one is trying to be, you know, make themselves larger than life with their attitudes, with the pomposity. A perfect example is what Lithgow brings to Tremblay and his arrogance, or with what Tedesco, and he lights up. There's no smoking, but let's light up, or let's vape, in defiance in everybody's faces. So I just love how they are each fighting to be larger than life when they really are insignificant little specks.
That's great. That was part of these little props like vapes, cigarettes, cell phones, plastic body bags for the Pope, you know, they were made for two reasons. One was to make them feel human.
Yep.
You know, to make them, you know, the Pope ends up like you and I in the back of an ambulance, dead. And, you know, they all have their sins, like vaping, and mistakes, like, I don't know, they're addicted to cell phones or whatever. You know, they're just not, they're no different. And you see, you look at them and you think, like, okay, they're these pious, holy men. But no, they all have mistakes, and they're mere mortals and sinners, like all of us. And with the same doubts and questions and problems. And on the other hand, it was also there, too, because I really like that clash.
Mm-hmm.
What we think is an archaic, old, historic institution, but with, like, very modern things that just clash. You know, you think, like, immediately, why do they have a cell phone? This should be ancient, but no. They have stuff, they're probably on Instagram, some of them.
I bet they are. And we really see that in the personalities, like such as with Tedesco, who wants to take the church backwards and get rid of X, Y, Z and A, B, and C. So there is, we really get to see that clash unfold with the different philosophies of each of these men. And in many of the cases, you so beautifully use the visuals to point out the hypocrisy of what is coming out of the mouths of some of them, as opposed to what they're actually doing.
Yeah.
So there is so much of that. And we see this all through the eyes of Lawrence.
Yeah.
This had to be so challenging, Edward, to keep us in Lawrence's POV and to not take us out of that. His introversion, so that we almost see what he's thinking. He is letting us into his mind without saying a word. And it's so brilliantly executed. So brilliantly executed, Edward.
It's lovely that you... Thank you so much. I mean, I feel very, very flattered. And thank you so much that you recognize that. I mean, Rafer is an actor who we picked because he's actually... You know, he's the guy... He's so quiet in the film. And a lot of other people have a lot more lines. They keep talking. He just keeps thinking.
Yeah.
But he is the guy who invites, he's an actor who invites us into his soul. You know, he invites us to what's going on behind his eyes. He makes us, you know, I can see when he's thinking, I can see it. You know, I can see what, I actually can read his mind. And that is just a wonderful gift that not many people have. And Rafe is very generous in sharing that. And that, You know, when you talk about POV, that's what I love about scripts. Usually, when I work on them, try to craft it so that it really feels like it's from that. I feel like I'm in Rafe's head, in his shoes, in his position. And for that, you need actually a lot of, you know, you need a lot of shots.
Yep.
You need, when I was in the Sistine Chapel, I had like six cardinals sitting there, and they all want their close-ups, and they all want their shots. But let's say you have like Stanley Tucci, and John Lithgow, and Sergio, and Lucien Musamati. I just gave, they all had one shot. When I went, turned around on Rafe, you know, he had five or six close-ups. Just so that you can say, okay, now let's go behind his head to sort of say, like, okay, he's listening. Then go, let's go a little bit above his eye line, you know, to creep into his mind. Let's go frontal for this moment, you know. Like, we got like six different shots for six different moments. Because I feel when you move the camera to a new position, it always tells you a new thought. You know, it always, like, it's easier for the audience to access that thought if the camera helps you out with it. So we try to, you know, work a lot with the camera that way.
Well, and this is one of the great things, because there are so many directors, and I just chastise many, because it's like they think an extreme close-up is the answer to everything. No, it's not. There are films that it's appropriate for and films it's not. The extreme close-ups you have here are so necessary and so stunningly designed and placed so that we are in Lawrence's mind, and we do get, we're beyond up close and personal. We are starting to think like him and what he's observing. And I love the use of the close-ups, but also I love it in tandem with Nick Emerson's editing. Edward, you could not have picked a better man to edit this with what Nick did with the deliberateness of Lady Macbeth, celebrating the quiet, the silence, the pauses. And you have that here. Everything is very deliberate in movement. Nobody's rushing. Nobody's running. It's the same cadence and steps. It's a deliberateness that lets us get into Lawrence's mind and into the observational aspect of this conclave. And that marriage there of your ECUs and the overall visual grammar and the camera work and Nick's editing is just through the roof. Glorious.
I mean, he is, we spent so much to try to reduce and reduce and reduce, you know, and really end up, I mean, that was basically a process of distillation for months and months of chipping away so that only the essential is left over and that only the shots that really further the story are in there and that only the edits that convey something new. We only edit when we convey something new. We don't cut on lines. We don't do shot reverse shots. We don't, you know, we stay on Rafe's face, for example, for a couple minutes and just watch what he thinks while we hear what other people say and just to distill and make every edit count. And Nick is just beautiful at making us feel that without, and again, I never want it to be, you know, about a single, I don't want it to be about me, I don't want it to be about editing, I don't want it to be a camera movie. I always feel like when one department shows off too much and tries to shine, then all others suffer. So it all has to be sort of in service of the movie. And then I think you have a chance of, you know, making something that people can relate to.
Yeah. Well, I have a very important question to ask. One of my favorites, Volker. You've got Volker doing your score. And this is, the score is a character in this film, Edward. It is so wonderful. What were you looking for musically? Because in this instance, the score, it's not subtext. The score speaks. Where we have silence from so many of the cardinals, the score speaks. What were you looking for from Volker with the score here?
I mean, we always talk about when we start something about, okay, what would be the expected version, and we definitely don't want that. You know, we always want the opposite. We always want to surprise us. And I kind of want to, I want to watch a movie and kind of go, huh, what are they doing? This is interesting. This is different than usual. That makes me lean in. That makes me be interested. And that has it, so that not underscores an image, that not makes it more beautiful with strings and more emotional. And, you know, when you have a close-up, then the music soars. No, it's kind of almost independent, but ideally adding something, like almost a dialogue, you know, between image and sound.
Mm-hmm.
That somehow then, you know, makes you feel something new that you haven't felt before. And especially, you know, I wanted a music, you know, the opening three cues or so until the credits.
Mm-hmm.
For the longest time, because it was something different.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I suddenly thought, you know what, we're not telling the audience yet of how to watch this movie. It just almost felt too earnest, you know. We'd fallen into our own trap of making a church movie, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Almost felt, and then we sort of changed that, and that really unlocked something. Said somehow you watch the movie. We only changed the score, and it made the movie just more fun to watch and more thrilling to watch, and that was important, you know. Like I think I got bored with my own tone in the film. And I suddenly thought, let's somehow we need to wake up, you know, and somehow tell the audience, listen, you go to the movies, let's enjoy this, yeah, let's enjoy this, let's have fun with it, let's sit back and watch these people, yeah, and have an experience, a theatrical experience. I think that's what we were after.
And this is a film that must be seen in the theater. It absolutely must be seen in the theater to really appreciate everything.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I have such great partners, such great actors, I have such great partners, I have a wonderful production designer, as you point, camera. And I think to watch and to feel the fabric of the costumes, if you see on the screen, that is just, you know, it's just lush and rich. And I think it's a great experience.
Lizzie's costuming.
Especially. You know what? We were editing the film, and, you know, when you edit the film, maybe, what, 5 people watch it, 10 people,
yeah.
Your friends, your family, you know, it's a really intimate process. You know, your producer, your editor, your composer, that's it, you know? And everyone has an opinion, and at some point you sort of say, okay, we're done, you know, this is it. You don't know how to, and so when we first went to these festivals and to these screenings, the room really engages with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really have gasps, you have laughter, you hear a pin drop in tense moments. And it's just it was a wonderful experience, because you never know until you share it with an audience of how it will play. And that this movie plays so communal in a way is a real big gift.
For my money, it's to see all the detail and the beauty and your color, you focus in on just the red, black, white, and gold. And so that sets its own striking note, visual notes. And then when you look, you need the big screen to see the detail of those fabrications and what Lizzie brought. I am in love with her fabrics, in love with the fabrics that she used for these costumes. But
you know, it's not the real fabric, you know? It's
right.
Because when you look at real Cardinals costumes, they're a little bit, you know, the color is a bit too orange.
Yes.
And a little bit too polyester for my taste. It's probably silk, but it looks kind of plasticky. And we looked at old paintings, almost from the Renaissance, and oh my God, did they have lush costumes.
Yes.
Lush fabrics. And so we put to the chagrin of Rafe, who was hot in the fabrics, we picked those thicker fabrics because they just looked more gorgeous. And, you know, when you talk about the red, that is really the costume, you know,
mm-hmm.
the red, the richness of the red, because obviously the rooms are going to be churches and Sistine Chapel and marble and white and black, you know, kind of, or gray, not exciting. exciting, you know, like, I mean, interesting architecture, but not in exciting colors. And so we really knew, Lizzie and I really knew that we needed to design something delicious with mm-hmm. the costume.
I am in love with her work and the fact the red, it equates to, another metaphor, equates to almost the blood of Christ.
Oh, yeah.
So just on every level, Edward, I am just so in love with this film. You have wowed me once again.
I mean, you made my day. You're so kind and generous. I love our conversation. And beautiful. I'm so thrilled that you like the film.
And I will see it again in the theater next week.
Great.
So,
yeah,
Edward, I hope we get to chat again in the future. And for my money, this is I'm fingers and toes crossed for this awards season and Conclave.
Thank you. You're so kind. Thank you.
Oh, Edward, thank you. And you go have a wonderful weekend.